Welcome, beautiful one, to the Remarkable Souls podcast. I'm your host, Ann Ribley, here to share with you insights, inspiration, and interviews on what it means to become a remarkable soul. I am delighted to share with you an interview today with Dawn Marie Jordan.
How sweet it is to be here with you, Ann, and with all your audience. Hello, everybody.
I am thrilled to share Dawn with all of you because she has a deeply connected knowledge base on body wisdom. And this is our second go-around with this interview because the file was left unable to open. And I wanted to start out the first of this year talking about body wisdom because so many of us are in a place where we're looking to get into alignment with our body wisdom and what we want to create and the body that shapes who we are. And I consider that body so many areas, the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, our character body. So there's so many areas that body wisdom fills in the bodies of our lives and who we are. So here we are. Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you.
This is such an important topic, and I just want to start by saying that the reason why I wanted to share Dawn with all of you is because when I met her at a spiritual transformational series of workshops, maybe 2 years ago, Dawn, when we met,
it was something like that.
There was this resonant, shining quality that she had every time she spoke that spoke so truthful to me that she integrated transformation, spirituality, and our connection to our actual body of our lives and how we're expressing it. And so I always was attracted to her and the wise illumination that I felt like she had. And then she was also fun and light. You love play, right, Dawn?
Yes. Play is what the universe is doing with us at every moment, right? So we can choose to fight that or we can step in and play.
And so she would always share her breakthroughs or what she was offering up in her wisdom, which would be personal to her. And also it would impact everybody collectively. And she would have everybody laughing. And it was just such a beautiful way to integrate, I feel like, her sharing and her wisdom. So I was always attracted to Dawn. And through the series of these workshops, I personally connect with her to be able to create a collaborative friendship and joined with powerful, wise women. We're all needed right now. I'm excited to give to you this interview here with Dawn, where we're going to talk about body wisdom and how important it is so that we can integrate. I know for myself, I was run over by a lawnmower, and I know that early on in my life, there's a sense where I've been gathering myself back into my body. For me, the struggle hasn't been so much my physicality with well-being and weight, but there is an element too. I've had to overcome things with my leg, but it's actually literally allowing myself to rest inside deeply into the body of my life emotionally, mentally, being here, being present. So I think when we have traumas or experiences early on, we can have a disconnect where a part of us is somewhere else. So as we gather ourselves back into a fully integrated presence, there's a body wisdom that we can begin to access. So let's just start with first, I have one more story to share about your significance, Dawn, and that is she helped co-facilitate, it was probably like 8 months ago, a Constellations workshop that Jack and I had went to. Jack is my beloved partner. And even after 20 years of recovery work, him growing up with a spiritual slant and in a sense of transformation, this Constellation workshop that she had helped co-facilitate did not cut through and create the breakthroughs like anything other literally, it was like this workshop revealed everything that was going on inside of him. And it was transformative, not only for myself, but for everybody else that was there. And it was life-changing for Jack. And I've never seen something so profound. And what was crazy is that I got him to go to this because I said it's going to be good for business. And I don't know, Dawn has, she's dialed into this magic and this wisdom in life. And I know that whatever she's going to be co-facilitating is going to be phenomenal.
Thank you. Yes. So we all live in an invisible field of information that is not really invisible once we learn how to tap into that frequency. And so body wisdom, reconnecting with the intelligence of skin and bones and muscles and connective tissue and your breath, reawakening all your senses, is the pathway to turning all these invisible forces in our life to make them visible.
The reason why I was so moved to want to even not only have a deeply connecting relationship with you, but to actually help facilitate something with you is when you and I sat down and started going through all our parallels with creativity, and then we decided to, and our writing desires, and mm-hmm. how deeply connected your path was in the spiritual transformational space. Tell me a little bit more about when it began for you, Dawn.
Yeah. So, you know, I began writing poetry like most kids in first grade when you get that assigned that, right? And realized I loved rhyming and I loved writing. It gave, when I was, you know, 9, 10, I realized I had a very alive inner world that my parents couldn't really hear about, but my teachers could. And then what really broke me through, and which is how I really came to understand what body wisdom is, and then create a system for people, a somatic education system to help people awaken that. And it happened for me because I experienced it. So I was in Brazil. I was working on a master's degree and towards a PhD. I was on a Fulbright fellowship. And I had what I jokingly call my first midlife crisis. So as women, basically from the day we're born, we're fighting with our own bodies because our mothers were fighting with ours, with their own. And some births are conscious and some births are not. So we basically all come into this life with relative relationships between good and bad with our own body. So I woke up one morning and I felt I was fat. A lot of women are going to recognize this. I had no idea where that came from because if you looked in the mirror, it was not true. The image that I had in my mind did not match the image in the mirror. And this was back in the 70s. And back then, nobody really understood what this was and there was not a word for it. Now we call it body dysmorphia. So I woke up one morning with a case of body dysmorphia that sent me into a depression. I became non-functional, and there I was, this American scholar in Rio de Janeiro and falling apart. And a friend of mine, after all the doctors said, there's nothing wrong with me, but it was clearly something wrong with me, a friend of mine said, why don't you go see Martha? She's a massage therapist. I think she can help you. And the long story short is that Martha changed my life. I went for massage and body work. I started working out with a routine that was very similar to what we now know as Pilates. And I started changing my diet. And all of this caused me to lose weight, become more emotionally expressive, a clearer thinker. And I completely changed my life. Then I gave up an academic career to become a somatic educator, a massage therapist, and a transformational body worker, because I realized that human touch and movement had the capacity to heal us mentally, emotionally, physically.
So it's interesting that her integration to reconnect you to your body in more of a honoring, in more of a true sense of really your own presence within your body was through the body. It wasn't through the mind.
Correct. And that is ultimately what unleashed my second round of poetry in my 20s. So But at 90 days into this whole routine of, you know, my Pilates thing and my nutrition and body work, I woke up another morning with the urge to write poetry. At the time, I was also in São Paulo. I was a literary translator for a lot of Brazil's most important authors. But I had never done any of my own poetry as a grown-up. And so I woke up with the urge to write poetry, and I wrote for 40 days and 40 nights. I went into a kind of trance that lasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and my first book of poetry was published in São Paulo. It was poems in English and Portuguese.
Well, that sounds like a title of a book, 40 Days and 40 Nights.
The title of that particular book was called Faces.
Okay. Okay, I want to just back up to this. When you said there's a name for it, and it's body dysmorphia.
Right.
Okay, that, I feel like this is prevalent, but it doesn't have to be that it exists with a lot of women.
Yes.
Even on the most subtle level. So talk a little bit about that it doesn't have to be a full-blown, like,
illness.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I've been touching people's bodies for 35 years. I've done around 20,000 massage and bodywork sessions and body wisdom sessions. In all that time, I only met two people who didn't seem to be fighting with their body in some way. And like you said, sometimes it's very subtle. My body doesn't have energy. I don't like my nose. I don't like my butt. I don't like my boobs. I don't like my skin. We have entire industries. I don't like the color of my hair. We have entire industries built to help women change what they don't like about their bodies. And then, of course, we have the long history of wanting to make ourselves beautiful and alluring and attractive to men. And so many times we feel like we have to make our bodies conform to what we imagine guys want. And then there's the history, you know, the real history of the suppression of our physical bodies, our intellectual capacities, our emotional expressiveness.
I mean, this is a subject I feel we could talk about
for days
if we could.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that we just at least get to some of the heart of what is so important for a woman right now, or anybody that's listening right now. It doesn't even have to be specifically to a woman, even though culturally it is definitely a long multi-generational conditioning.
Yes.
Template that's changing right now, that we need to expand our consciousness to open up and reformat this template that's pulsating.
Yes.
Inside of our bodies that's been passed on.
Yes.
From multi-generations.
Yes, yes. So that's what I'm inviting everybody to do. The buck can stop here with us. But what that has required of me is that I love all these painful parts of myself. I have to learn how to love the suffering in me. In my late teens and early 20s, I was a very rabid feminist. And so I had a lot of anger and a lot of rage towards men. And at one point, that was sabotaging my love life because all these great guys were walking into my life, but I was so pissed off at them that it was difficult to have an open-hearted and easy connection. And so I had to love my anger. I had to find... my good fortune was that I found meditation techniques that first allowed me to let out the anger, and then I could relax, and then my heart would open. And so active meditation techniques are one of the things that I share with people now, because I found it the most efficient and effective way to unload the rage and the anger and the resentment, the ancestral history of starvation and rape and being disenfranchised, that all of us have inherited.
What I find interesting, or what I find, you know, what you're talking about, is that we can know this in our mind, but how do we translate it into our actual nervous system where we can release the anger, the forgiveness, reformat ourselves into a a truer connection. The word authenticity gets thrown around, but it, like an authentic connection to ourself. It gets thrown around a lot. Like people want to be authentic. And what does that really mean?
Yeah. What that really means is owning, naming and claiming everything that I am without censoring. So when I finally said, yes, I am a pissed off woman. And yes, I am treating all the men around me, including my father, including my brothers, including my boyfriends who I love. I'm also at the same time pissed at them. So naming and claiming that.
Naming and claiming. That's so much what I even do with the new moon is because I feel like that's a way to begin to call our power back wherever it has been displaced.
Right, right, right. So once I named and claimed, ah, yes, I am one of those angry women. Now what am I going to do with that? And that was when I found dynamic meditation, which was my pathway to unloading the emotional part of it. Which for me worked through dynamic meditation, but the poetry also, the writing became my outlet also to transform that.
So let's talk about creativity. I mean, there's so much I want to even just write that's so full and needs unpacking about everything that you said, but let's just talk about creativity and how important it is for us to be. We are creative beings. Yes. I mean, we all have the capacity to literally, we hold within our bodies the ability to create life.
Yes. Yes.
More humans.
Yes. Yes. And every moment, every word we speak here together is a new creation. We are literally sculpting space with the sound that we're producing. So this is one of the other things that I've had to do along the way is constantly question everything I think I know. Because my mind, my prefrontal cortex, my linear rational mind is way smaller than what I actually am. My consciousness is way bigger, and a whole part of it is not linear. A whole part of it is intuitive. A whole part of it has to do with awakening all my senses externally and internally. And yes, to all your audience, I want you to know everything that you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch on the outside, you can also see, hear, taste, touch, smell on the inside.
Because that's where it's really happening.
Yes, exactly.
It's whatever we're perceiving from our outside world,
yes,
it's all being processed on the inside.
Right, right. So becoming a somanaut, I love this word. One of my colleagues, Gil Headley, created this word. A somanaut is an explorer of inner space. So I'm inviting everyone to become a somanaut. Everybody knows what an astronaut is.
And I
always say, so that's an explorer of outer space. What I am is an explorer of inner space, and I'm inviting you all to join me there because that's where the juice is happening.
Well, that's what was amazing to me about when I really realized the profoundness of your teaching is when you co-facilitated that workshop, and I watched my partner, Jack, literally have his insides lovingly placed out for him to see.
Yes.
Like almost like in the palm of his hands.
Yes.
So that he could then take and see what that was so he could pull him in, like take almost like taking your hands and putting it back over your heart in a reordered way.
Yes.
And he's never been the same since. I mean, it was so profound.
Right.
And so that place that we have all of this connection to our body wisdom, I want to talk about real quick before we lose this area that's so important to talk about, especially with women not loving the image they have of their body or being quick to judge their body.
Right.
There's two things I have to say about this that I think is really important and how we can integrate that healing through our own body wisdom. Mm-hmm. Is I was watching an episode of Jada Smith, Will Smith's wife, mm-hmm. who's doing Red Table Talks on Facebook. She's doing live episodes. And there was a Q&A part of it where they had to just draw a question, and they did a whole body segment on the show.
Oh, awesome.
And they had to draw a question about what are your favorite body parts? All the women had to do it. So Jada does this with her daughter and her mother. So it's like a multi-generational.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Conversation around the red table. Mm-hmm. So what they said, which I thought this really struck me because I know for myself that, okay, so the first part I want to say is that I feel like I saw how much pain and torture my mom was in over her body.
Yes.
And I saw that my whole life, and I was aware enough to say, I will never have that become my story, because I feel like it's been a source of so much pain and misery for her. Mm-hmm. So very early on in my young adulthood, I wanted to be in good relationship with how I ate, how I took care of my body. And I found my system early on. So it allowed me to maintain a body image and the way my body looked in relation to what was never a source of pain and suffering that way. I've had a different element of being okay with my body, with going through having a leg that definitely was like shredded and looks nothing like conventional legs look like. However, when I was watching this Red Table Talk, what I found was interesting is they had to say three parts of their body that they loved. And they all mentioned that it was easier to say what they didn't like about their body.
Yeah.
And we have to pause and drop down into really connecting, thinking about it. It's yes. actually connecting yes. to what do we love. It doesn't come, like it almost comes out of our body, what we don't love. And when I heard that, I could even resonate with that, even though I would consider myself in a really healthy relationship with my body image.
Yes, yes. Because we've all been colonized by advertising. There's something wrong with our skin. There's something wrong with our hair. And so
we can literally like that, it spits out of our body, yes. not even our head.
Yes.
Like
yes.
the body's holding that.
Yes.
That's what
yes.
body wisdom is.
Yes. Yes.
It's holding all this information. It, like it spits out quicker. And then when you want to think about what do you love about your body, I can get there pretty quickly, but there's, it's not as nanosecond reactive. So it yes. tells me that that's circulating.
Yes. Yes. That's what's circulating in our body. Because we read the newspaper, because we read magazines, and because all these products make money. And so we are constantly being sold an unrealistic vision of who we all are as individual women, because that's how capitalism works. So part of it is unhooking from external images of ourselves or what other people think we should look like and feel like and walk like and act like and talk like. And becoming the somanot and asking, you know, starting with your own heart. What does my heart really long for a in a relationship with myself? You know, again, as women, we're taught to pay attention to external relationations. But what do I, how am I going to love myself?
Yeah, so for me, it was like, how much effort? And I feel like I've been on a path of consciousness around loving myself. But how much effort is put into my day really loving parts of my body, mm-hmm. parts that I want, so that that's my default?
Yes.
Quickly. Like mm-hmm. it, like,
yeah.
Even though I can do it relatively mm-hmm. quickly.
Mm-hmm. So start your day that way. You know, I start my day in bed. I wake up. And I take at least 15 minutes to just move and stretch and feel my pajamas. And I, you know, I'm one of the organic cotton girls because it feels really soft and smooth and sexy. And I only buy, you know, 6-ounce Portuguese flannel sheets in the wintertime because that keeps me warm. And it's also soft and sexy and makes me feel nourished. It makes me feel like my bed is like a nest. And so I wake up every day, first of all, nourishing my own skin. And then I've also learned the habit of get rid of your phones, ladies. Get the phone out of your bedroom. So when you wake up and when you go to sleep, you have at least this half an hour to just be alone with yourself. And
I think that's profound because it's in a very subtle way we've so maybe someone feels like, oh, I don't really watch the news. But we're, every time we're plugging into now, the new news is social media.
Yes. So unplug. If you want to really connect with your body, you have to unplug from all the electronics that have invaded our lives. Learn how to manage it. Our electronics need to serve us. It's not about us serving the machines. I'm a radical about that. And
because it's a powerful tool.
Yes, it's a powerful tool. And I am grateful for it.
Yeah, but, me too.
But not when I wake up. And especially if you wake up with somebody else in your bed, you need to be paying attention to them. This is one of the most beautiful times for couples to snuggle and kiss. And lots of people like to make love in the morning and start their day that way. To me, I think that's the greatest way to start the day, right?
This is where I love this part about you, Dawn, is the all that Brazilian time that you spent that you said influenced this deeper yes. relationship with playfulness and love.
Yes, yes, yes. We Americans, my Brazilian friends all say, you American women, you're addicted to work. You're crazy. You work all day outside the home, then you work all day inside. That's why your relationships don't last. And you know what? They're right. Because any relationship, any good relationship, takes daily nourishment. It takes daily connecting. And especially for couples, nobody should go to bed mad. And everybody should wake up and nourish each other before you start the workday. And so making that hour of waking up and the hour before going to bed, particularly couples time, every day, every 24-hour cycle.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate over if there's just two rituals that you can do to change your life, it's how you bookend your day. It's how you begin it and it's how you end it. And even if you're not in a relationship, it's the relationship with yourself. It's the relationship with your own rejuvenation, going to bed and waking up refreshed and creating a ritual that you can use for your own nourishment.
Yes. Ritual. The whole purpose of ritual in everybody's lives is to rebalance the emotional body and the spiritual body with the physical body. So when you have a morning ritual, whatever ritual nourishes you, you do that in the morning. And then you do another one at night to close down your day.
I know that it can be a little overwhelming for some women who are in the throes of like raising kids because it's like a lot of programs, a lot of demanding energies, like all at once to begin and end the day. So how would you speak to that from a body wisdom place?
So there are a couple different things. It depends on how old your kids are. So younger kids, everybody needs to have an 8 o'clock bedtime.
Oh yeah, I'm a big advocate on that. I could actually do a whole show. And I feel so strongly about this. I could do a whole show because now I've raised my kids and I have a 16-year-old, 18-year-old. And my evidence now, I was talking this way when I was raising it, and I have the proof now about how important it is. And I became such an advocate about early bedtimes and helping them find their own biorhythm.
Yes, this is fundamental. Every family needs to have a schedule. And this is the biggest problem in America now, is we've completely lost the rhythm of daily life.
Oh, I have so much to say about rhythm. And when my kids were little and people were seeing the results of it when they were little, I had people that were calling me all the time with sleep problems with their kids because I could do a whole we could go on for a long time about this, and maybe we'll revisit this because this is so important. Sleep for ourselves, how we integrate this with our children. Okay, so.
Yes, and meal times also. You know, this whole thing about fast food and eating on the run, it's been deleterious to three or four generations of kids already.
Yeah, it definitely throws us out of the rhythm. So I love that because a lot of what I do even do with teach and advocate about the importance of doing even full moon or new moon rituals, I just say it's all about getting in sync with the real rhythm keeper of time.
Yes, which is the natural world.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where our biggest modern disconnect exists.
Okay. So to not lose track of what you were giving and how to like help someone. So reestablish the rhythm, early bedtimes for kids. And then what would you say?
Regular meal times. And then moms and dads and or from 8 to 10 every night, that's your quiet time and that's your couple's time. Or that's your quiet time and you get 2 hours of it if you're a parent raising children alone. And if you're a parent raising children alone, call for help. Ask for help. being a single parent is a rare kind of challenge. And you need to recruit soul family and friend families to give you quiet time, to give you time off. And because every parent needs somebody else to talk to.
There's a lot that has happened in our culture here, especially in the United States, where the structures of support in a sense of community and tribe that we normally would get from even our close immediate family, that's all been dismantled. In so many different ways. And I know this for myself personally, because I have been impacted by it, is, and I've had to learn to ask for help.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not even saying that I am the, that this is something that I have completely dialed in. I mean, it's a muscle that I am learning.
Yes, I know, because in America, we have an intellectual prejudice. We think we have to do it all by ourselves. Gang, give it up. This is a false mental construct. None of us can raise children alone. You know, we give lip service to the idea it takes a village. You know, take somebody else's kids for an afternoon to the playground, to the park, skiing, swimming. Be that killer aunt. Be that awesome uncle. Be that neighborhood elderly couple who are still thriving in their 70s and want to hang out with kids. Let your kids go over to their house and play and bake things and build things.
Yeah, we're missing even some of that, where there's the generational support.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I even believe we need to create more intergenerational housing. Once upon a time, like when my parents grew up, there were three generations of people who lived under the same roof. Families run much better when there's three generations of people under the same roof.
Well, that's, again, because that's a support structure of living in community and in tribe.
Right, right. You know, and we can also create other modern variations on that. I actually live in what I consider a cutting-edge solution to housing for women over 50. I live with two friends, and we call it Goddess Manor. You know, we share a home.
Well, this is what's so interesting. I just love about your, I would call it, you just have such a bandwidth of wisdom, Dawn, that it is integrated in every aspect, from body wisdom to how we are co-creating our lives, and that how that even relates to creativity. That's is why I'm thrilled to be doing this Hawaii Writers Retreat with you, because it's all connected.
Yes.
And when you were sharing with me that there's actually studies show that women do better living together than alone.
Yes, yes, because we need to feel connected and protected. And there's a lot of the science around all of this is out. It's just that it's not getting adequate circulation. So this is my way of getting it out. And I hope this year I'm finishing up a book that I've been writing for a long time called Coming Back to Our Senses, where I'll gather all this research for everybody to look at and put it together in a way that you already know makes common sense.
I love that. Coming back to our senses.
Yeah, that's what we need. We're so out of our bodies. It's crazy.
Well, you know, there's the quote, to be as little children. Mm-hmm. To enter the kingdom, but it's not being childlike. And that's the innocence. And I always say innocence is really our inner sense, returning back to our inner sense.
Yes, exactly.
So that's why I love that when you say coming back to our senses.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I feel like, how can we make this practical? Like what's your teachings? I know that people can go to your website, Dawn, to learn about how to get in touch with their body wisdom, but tell, like, what are three things right now? So we got the routine that you're saying, or the ritual in the morning and the evening, mm-hmm. just to begin to connect back to your body.
Right.
But what would you say is a way right now for somebody to begin in touch with their body wisdom?
So right in this moment, as you are listening to my voice, there's something in your body calling out. So just close your eyes a minute.
Yeah, if you're in a place that you can you can close your eyes. If not, then come back to do this exercise when you're in a space that you can. So close your eyes.
Yes. And this exercise is called a body check, and it's downloadable on my website, and it's free to you. So you can go there to do it, or you can download it for yourself. So there's something in your body right in this moment calling out. I just want you to put your fingers on that spot. And now I want you to just breathe in and out of that spot. Wherever you put your attention, love begins to flow. So just keep breathing in and out of this spot. And if you have enough inner sense that you can connect your heart consciously with your breath, go ahead and do that. But if you just pay attention to the breath, the heart will follow it because the heart follows the breath.
Wow, I love that.
So this is your first act of love today in this moment that you're hearing my voice, that you're here with me and Anne. You can do this at any moment. In the business world, we call this doing a pivot. So okay. If you don't like the mood you're in, if you're fighting with something in your body, just stop and give it more attention, give it a little love, and it will start to lift and shift.
Well, you know what story I think of when you're sharing this is Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love. She had a knee issue that she had spent countless years, dollars, doctor visits, trying to figure out what to do about her knee. And she wrote this whole post, which you can find on Facebook if you just put it in the search. So one day she's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this. She felt like she had tried everything and it had been going on for years. And she had spent so much money, went to so many different doctors over this knee issue. And she sat down. I'm just going to talk to my knee. And she said to her knee, what do you want? What are you here to be telling me? It's exactly what you're talking about, that body wisdom check-in. And you know what her knee said? It said, move. Her knee yes. said, I want to move. And you know, there's some real powerful truth to that. So what she said was, is that she decided then instead of not being on her knee because it was giving her pain, she decided, get moving.
Yes.
And from that point forward, her whole trajectory, that the journey into wellness with her knee began. And it has not given her the same pain and discomfort. And there's something to this. And the reason why I know that is because for me, I walk on a leg that defies what's considered medically possible. And all of my injury mainly happened in the knee. And if you look at my knee on x-ray, it would look like I wouldn't be able to move easily, look like I'd have debilitating arthritis, look like I'd be on heavy duty narcotics. This is literally, or you know, pharmaceuticals. Right. This is literally what orthopedic doctors say.
Right.
And I know that it's because I have to keep my knee moving. Even when my knee starts getting stubborn with, you know, an arthritic style condition, is I'm like, okay, we need to move. This is just an example of what I know to be true, that when she got still enough, it's like all this crazy therapy, all this crazy, you know, time and money and all this stuff really came down to her body wisdom already knew what she needed.
Yes, she recovered what I call the lost language of talking to the body. And so did you, and so did I. And so
it's a working relationship.
Yes, it's a working relationship. And it's always in motion because the nature of life is to be in motion. And it's part of our intuitive healing capacities that we've been educated out of. So this is what I'm also inviting everybody back into, is to reclaim and recover the lost language of talking to your body. Our bodies don't know how to lie. The mind lies to us all the time, but our bodies know what's true and what's best for us. And the more practice you have, just like learning Spanish or learning French, the more practice you have talking to your own body, the more you will hear the voices that tell you what's true for you and what moves you can make that will heal you.
I appreciate you coming in here today, Dawn, and sharing this aspect of body wisdom. And if anybody wants to learn how to do a, you said a downloadable.
A body check, yeah.
Yeah. You can go to Dawn Marie.
Dawn Marie www.dawnmariejordan.com.
And I'll put it also in the show notes because I think this is so important to check in with our body and also to understand that we are creative beings.
Yes.
And we're here to co-create. And we are co-creating every single day. And the more we can honor the creation that wants to come through for us,
yes,
the more we unlock.
Yes. Yes.
A flourishing, nourishing life.
Yes. And especially as women, the more we speak our truth, then we heal ourselves, we heal our daughters, we heal our mothers in many cases, and we change the trajectory of ancestral suffering.
Well, there's so much I want to continue having this conversation with you, Dawn, about body wisdom, about deepening our own integration into the fullness of ourselves. And so I'm definitely going to invite you back here on the show. And I look forward to being able to do this Hawaii Writers Retreat with you and co-facilitate for 9 special women the ability to go deep in their own body wisdom and creativity.
Yes. So if there's anybody listening to our voices and you're feeling like you have a really important message and it's ready to come out, join us. We want to help you birth that voice.
Yes. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And this is more to be continued on this topic of body wisdom. I feel like this is something that we're being all called to heal and to grow deeper in our own integration and to get in the bodies of our lives.
Yes. May you all thrive.
Namaste, my beautiful ones. Namaste.